Is everyone all right?
I'm all right, sir.
No problem at all, Colonel.
Dr. Bruner!
I'm only after you.
Here, sir. He's all right. He's got to be all right.
Good.
Good.
Take it easy, Doctor. You're all right now.
Doctor? Doctor, how you frightened me. Lieutenant Hartman, don't stand there. Send a message. Don't you realize they are waiting?
Take it easy, Doctor. Lower your head. We're in free fall and on our way.
I'm all right. Quite all right.
That's great, Doctor, great.
Wait. I have the exact words now. Tell them Objective 4 of Space 1 is safely done. Tell them send it slowly, clearly. We are still one with blessed achievement. Our rocket's free of gravitation and falling back on course to triumph.
Tell them he died screaming with triumph.
Send only what I said to you. We are on course, free fall, Space Station 1, our destination.
From Broadcast House, Arch Obler's Night of the Ark. Adapted for radio and produced by Paul Gianfrido. Directed by Paul Neil DeSole. In tonight's cast, Eric Sharp as Louis Ronan. Franco Santini as General Russell. Lenny Deitch as Dr. Bruner. Bob Donnelly as Lieutenant Hartman. And Leo Langevin as Lieutenant Kephart. And now, Arch Obler's Night of the Ark. The time, the day after some tomorrow. The place, a rocket ship returning from interstellar space.
Listen, everyone. We're going to have a parade down Pennsylvania Avenue, and then we march straight into a joint session of the Congress. And the Medal of Merit, they're giving it to you, Louis Ronan.
Congratulations. The Civilian Medal of Honor. Well, well, well.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Colonel Russell, about Major Lorman, should I tell them...
Tell them nothing. Just catalog the kudos.
Yes, sir. Maybe they'll cancel out my back income tax. $40.
Mr. Ronan, I have been thinking about your sponsors, the Associated Newspaper.
That is not within your area of activities, Lieutenant Kephart.
If I understand correctly, the conditions of the prize were these. That first, a landing must be made, and secondly, that a human actually set foot on the moon. Is that correct?
Lieutenant Kephart, really... I have many thoughts to think now. And in this, thinking is my function. I suggest you go back to your own concerns.
Now with both conditions fairly met, a prize is won. Is that correct? My question is this. Who gets Major Lorman's share?
What in reason's name is the matter with you? Did the blast-off sear your brain?
To single-mindedness. Need I remind you of my father's work of pioneering that laid foundation for this great reality? Would it not be fitting that Major Lorman's share now perpetuate the memory of such a man?
Lieutenant, I too am single-minded. Whatever flows forth from this flight, my friend, is for the living here and now.
Then let me add one thing. I did not sleep.
I sympathize with you. But where does your airborne insomnia concern me?
I would like an endowment to my father's memory. This is not too much to ask. I will want an answer before the men with ready pencils climb on board to hear the last details of what we saw. Of what I saw.
What is this? A new sickness of space? Perhaps I should discuss it with Dr. Bruner.
Look at this, Colonel.
I don't believe it.
Would I gag it up? Would I make such a cruddy joke? I swear it.
What is it? What's happened?
The miracle of all time has happened. Unless this character's bucking for that annual Liars Club award.
What do you want? My blood corpuscles taking oaths on Gideon Bible?
Will you tell me?
They tied a rocket to his rank.
Right out of the Pentagon, he says. By special appointment of the chiefs of staff. I can't believe
it. Well, the sky is full of honors.
Yeah, grab a couple of passing stars. We'll safety pin them on his shoulders.
A two-star general, no less. Congratulations, General. My choice of you is given equal recognition by the Pentagon.
Congratulations, sir.
Thank you, Lieutenant. I'm damn certain that out of this free fall funicular, you'll be high-hurdling a few more ranks yourself. Now I think the time has come for Irish medicine, heaven preserved in plastic.
Yes, sir. For the first time since I joined the Army, for this I volunteer.
Really, Lieutenant?
There's nothing coming through. I left it on the automatic. We'll hear it through the speaker. And this is a time for celebration. The ether's full of happy tidings, medals, upgradings. Why, any minute now, we should hear that I'm a father. Hey, Mr. Ronan, well, what's one-fifth of half a million? Please, don't tell me. Anything over $50, I get the morning sickness.
Mr. Ronan, what of you, sir? I think you, too, should have your just reward.
No, I don't think...
Consider carefully, sir. Thanks to you, we will be getting quite enough. To you, the value of a share may be a minor thing.
And yet what marvelous charitable act you could perform with it. An endowment in some worthy school. An educational fund. Perpetuating the name of some unsung pioneer of flight. An act important indeed to your own interests.
Single-minded indeed. I'll give it further thought.
Since this is the time for saying what we think, Doctor.
My thoughts were of my son.
Son?
I didn't know you had a son, Doctor.
If he had lived, perhaps he would have stood here in my place, full of grand resolves and golden voyages. That boy, so long forgotten, except in some distant inner pain, brought out in weariness and doubt.
Doubts? What doubts?
If I might use your own words, death shroud this bright victory now.
But I insist you speak. It is a matter of concern for all of us. Your troubled face that mirrors what?
Message coming in, sir.
That mirrors what? Tell me, Doctor, are you still listening to that voiceless screaming? Or is it error in the formulas you found? What's the equation? Fuel, air, trajectory? What's the variable? Tell me, Doctor.
Variable? Yes. I. You. All things of glandular are unconstant in the blood. Now understand, this of which I tell you is not a microbic truth captured on the balsam. I have no facts, no verification, no authorities or antecedents. Only this. My simple animal senses that reason beyond reason. Those vagrant instincts within us. One of the variables we have not yet bequeathed to automation.
I have important news. Listen closely, for each of you is part of it. As soon as voice contact can be established, we are to broadcast to a worldwide audience. Each of you is to speak, and I. And when I have finished, the President of the United States will then address us.
The President? Shall we bother with it?
Now it begins. The bows to right and left. The head fitting for the laurel wreath.
And what do you suggest? That we turn modest tails and hide inside a cosmic cloud until this rude applause is ended? Each of us should now prepare what we are going to say on broadcast.
Did you hear that? My old buddy boy, the President. A tete-a-tete with me.
Lieutenant, please. I must insist you treat this with the dignity of the occasion. When did they say the voice contact would be made?
2-3 hours. It's hard to pinpoint it. The microwaves are a magician's trick. But if the abracadabra saws the girl in half, we'll hear the rabbit through the trumpet.
You'll speak about the trip, your gratitude to whomever you feel grateful toward. You anticipate no difficulties, Lieutenant?
I anticipate much, for which I will be grateful.
Excellent. Our general, I am sure, will be speaking with the caution of his office. Yes, there is conditioned fact in what you said, Doctor. Now it begins. We turn our faces back to light of earth. And in that brightness, ferret eyes will search for imperfections. I hesitate to speak of another written covenant between us. I wish only to say that since each of us is obviously human, superhuman though this task may be, the wrongful things we may have said and done, an order harshly given, an innocent action quite mistaken, all these things are human frailties asking for human understanding. Let us not therefore speak anything, write anything that might tarnish to millions of uplifted eyes this proud accomplishment, this golden voyage. Don't you agree with me?
Me, all I'll say is, hello, Mom, I'm glad we won. Please light the candle in the window.
I always try to be most cooperative.
You said the word, caution.
I would speak once again of the dead. You, whose thoughts and blame have turned within you. If you think on that night, you could have spoken stronger words. I say, what words of yours could do what all those months of training could not do? He saw the death and warning flashes, knew the click of Geiger, was under military orders, direct and clear, to stay within the safety of these walls. Then why burn inward with a self-indictment? Indict the fool psychologist I hired who probed his head yet missed the cancers there of self-destruction.
A few moments ago, I began to speak to Russell of the darkness in my thoughts. I'll tell you now, this was not the death of one, but of the death of many.
What's wrong? What is it?
No, do not alarm yourself. This fight goes well. I speak of where we were. The radioactivity, the cloud of it brooding where we were. Quiet, malignant, like an ancient Sargasso, full of memories of drowning men. Why? Why? And then the craters, blackened wounds on cindery deathscape. Again the question, why? The look of them so familiar. Not because I had seen them 1,000,000 times, reflected in the concave bowl of telescopic mirror, but for some memory-twisting reason that drifted just beyond the edge of true recall. Then, Suddenly, in that horrible moment, when Franklin Lorimer stood out there, screaming without sound, beyond the flare of jet, I knew. It was a memory of another crater I had seen long years before, from an observation plane high over the ground, a few hours after the first bomb of atomic fission had scorched the desert sky with a new malignant sun. That crater on the crust of Earth our bomb had left, the tiny image of the craters of the moon.
What does he say? Do you understand him?
What are you getting at? The crater in that desert was a thousand thousandths the size of those we saw on moon.
I suddenly began to think. Was it not possible that the moon had gone through the same evolutionary process as our Earth, before our Earth? Was it not possible that men had come into being on the moon, developed their own civilization, found a pathway of science, even as we had, but long before we Earthmen?
My God!
Hey!
Perhaps those men of moon had found the secret of atomic fission long before our time, and then had used it to blast and tear each other. Yes, and the horrible radioactivity, the cindered craters, that terrible scorched devastation was the record of destruction of their civilization. A final war that had burnt up the very atmosphere and left the moon a great cold crematorium circling endlessly through an airless sky of death.
Say it's all clear up to Satellite One, but between us and them, it goes to hash.
But when will the broadcast...
Patience, buddy boy, patience. That's the big X in Scatterwave. You rate a rig like this just like a new girl. You know what she would do if you do what you do, and then she doesn't do it.
I do not think he will ever let us speak.
Huh?
You will see. He will find some very clever reason so that only he and perhaps our new general speaks. But not the doctor, you or me.
This is bad. Who wants with speeches? From now on, I'm a silent capitalist. Let the people without money do the talking.
I shall insist on speaking.
You do that. Yeah, and speaking of verbal diarrhea, why did you talk away my loot? Dear leader, take a share. Please, I insist. Be my guest. Do you realize your yakety yak there cost me over 17,000 bucks?
He has his right to share.
My dear lieutenant philanthropist, look at my outdoors rugged face and tell me in single syllable words, what can a billionaire like that want with another lousy 80,000? Do you know how many millions were left to him in the Ronin Foundation? 600. That's 600 with six more zeros contrailing out behind it. If you're going to be generous with my money, why don't you get me some ransom out of your rich buddy?
What do you mean?
He's got the same handcuffs on your contract, too. They've been all over the dial trying to get us on the dotted line. Coke, Lucky Strike, Bromo Seltzer. Satellite One said all the Madison Avenue advertising agencies are on top of their roof sending up dollar sign smoke signals. Why, we can make a fortune on the cigarettes alone. Testimonial. Chesterfield, Satisfy in the stratosphere. Philip Morris, we're the most on the moon.
Who would believe?
Who wants to believe? Who believes that Crosby drinks just orange juice?
Well?
They're working on it. They called the plumber.
Is there any chance of total cancellation?
What a hambone you turned out to be. You get your mind off public speaking for a minute and contemplate the loop.
Mr. Ronan, you must not keep me off the broadcast. I must speak to them.
And when did I tell you that you would not speak?
Here, look at what I've written. That's not necessary.
Well, I am pleased. I had no real concern about your discussion.
Ah,
that is a very fine emotional touch. I am pleased indeed.
Lieutenant Kephart, I think we'd better go down and check the casing of the jet. According to the book, we'll have one more use of them.
Yes, sir.
Something wrong?
Just precautionary. Wait, I'll check airfield. Okay.
Have you written out your speech?
No. All I'm going to do is scrape my feet and project my great humility across space.
Excellent.
That reminds me about Lieutenant Kephart. I'd appreciate it if you'd remember that in official matters and public addresses, I'm still the man's commanding officer.
But of course. I have his broadcast speech right here. Believe me, quite in order.
All right. Now, what of Major Lorimer? Will you tell them of him now?
I have it here. Poor word.
What will it be? Accident? Intent? Whose error of reason?
His?
Ours?
I'll make a hero of him. I think it's best that way, don't you agree? I speak, of course, with the armed services in mind, for they, as usual, would bear the brunt of probing politicians.
I guess so. Just so, Sounder Gordon.
I'm going down below. Trouble with the jets.
Our great world, covered by my fingertip. I wonder how soon we'll see the glittering sequin of Satellite One.
Never has there been such a free fall since Icarus melted into the sun.
Not that, if you please. A warm reception, but not that. I have been recalling your words that unthinkingly I derided. The boughs, left, right, the laurel leaves.
They are deservedly yours.
Do you truly think that of me? That I tremble for the sound of trumpets? Strain ear for a global bravo thundering up, up to fill at last the suck of thirsting vanity within me?
How can I say what you truly think?
On a night before we left the Earth, I came in here and sat alone in dark, hatch closed. The world was lost in the perfection of this craving spheroid. The air was warm, close, pressing. And suddenly I was trembling, breathless. The thought overpowering that when that hatch would open, I would emerge, reborn, into...
Has there ever been such darkness?
I had a wondrous boat when I was a boy. I'd sail it far, far out at night until they'd come in search of me.
I bought my son a boat, a very large one for such a little boy. No, no, I'm sleepy. Go yourself, I said. He went out proudly to the park with it. A small boy, a boat, and the graveyard of the water. I slept.
Won't be long now. The firecrackers on the party line are pooping out. Hey, Doc, what's good for butterflies? The cocoons are hatching out all at once now. Thinking of opening my big mouth and broadcast like a king-size newscast. Special, extra, hey, world, it's me.
Space Station 1 to Rocket 1. Space Station 1 to Rocket 1. Please verify transmission of network's relay from Earth. Their signal up to here is strong. Their modulation perfect. Over.
Rocket 1 to Space Station. Okay, okay, we're hot and ready.
No, no, we're not ready. Tell him that we...
Space 1 to Rocket 1. We'll cut you in to Earth transmission.
I tell you, no, I am not ready.
All right, all right.
To Rocket 1. Arlington to Rocket 1. We're standing by, ready for transmission. The president is standing by, waiting on you. Over.
Tell him, a few moments. I must have a few more moments.
Rocket 1 to Arlington. We'll be ready in 3 minutes. How do you read me?
Arlington to Rocket 1. We read you fine. You're loud and clear. It's 5 to straight up now. We'll start on the hour, straight up. Standing by.
Okay, standing by.
Kephart, Russell, come up, the broadcast. Come up at once. Quickly now, quickly, get your speeches in your hands. The president is waiting. Dr. Bruner, didn't you hear me?
You will forgive me. I think I would be silent now.
What the devil are you saying? What are you trying to do to me? They're expecting you, all of us.
What's the difference if he doesn't?
Do you think I care at what he does or does not do? They requested him. And if he fails to speak, the questions turn on me.
You've got him out. He took the thrust the worst of any. Tell them he is sick, but let him be.
Thank you.
All right, all right. Everyone around the microphone, do not straggle. Form a circle. I'll introduce you each in turn. Speak only from the written word. On this, I must insist.
Calm down. Relieve your diastolic. No one's going to sabotage.
That's quite unnecessary, Colonel Russell. General, the weight of this is mine. From now on, mine. The world is one great ear, our every whisper meaningful. You will speak quickly, reading what is written. No embellishments, no interpolations. Your words clearly stated, so there will be no doubt of meaning.
Stand by. I can hear the big man tuning up his larynx.
Glad it isn't snooping television.
Over the largest group of stations in all history, we bring you from Triumphant Rocket, somewhere high in space, the voices of these heroic men of space. Go ahead, Rocket Moon.
Mr. President, distinguished directors of the Albert Ronan Foundation, honorable gentlemen of the Associated Newspapers, ladies and gentlemen of the world, this is Lewis Ronan speaking. We are now approximately 4 hours from our primary return objective, which is, as you well know, the American Space Station, that wondrous satellite orbiting even now above the Earth. When we reach that little aerial America, we will rest. Then we will board a waiting jet and return to Earth to you. What we saw on Moon, what we did on Moon, and what we foresee for future, all these, of necessity, must await my formal report to you, Mr. President, and to my distinguished directors and co-sponsors. The time has come to bring to you the brave, distinguished men who stand behind me on this epic flight. I give you first that famous man of wings, ranking officer of this all-service team of experts, General Thomas Russell.
Mr. President, I, for one, feel a little too far out in space to say more than we're on our way. The mechanism willing and fate willing, we will return. Thank you. Goodbye.
This is Lewis Ronan speaking. And now I bring to the microphone our young and very able communications officer, Lieutenant Maximilian Hartman.
Hello, Mr. President, and everybody. We're coming home. We haven't made it yet, but we're en route. I hope my mother's listening. I'm all right, Mom. Just scared. I mean, on account of this broadcast. And hello, Dorothy. I'm okay. Well, I think I'll say goodbye. Goodbye.
Boy, was I brilliant.
And now I give you our jet expert, son of a distinguished pioneering father, Lieutenant Jan Kephart.
Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, I want to speak only of my father, Julius Kephart. I was very young when he passed away. Yet all the years of life, he has been alive to me. I would remind the world, so ready to applaud, that my father lived in ridicule and lies, in death in an unknown grave. I would remind the world that this entire conception was originally my father's. The formula of flight, the form of spheroids, the satellite launching stage, all my father's lifetime concept. Mein Vater, du bist vertreten.
I am certain you are all now anxiously awaiting the words of our great Nobel Prize winner, Dr. Brunner.
Dr. Brunner, Dr. Brunner, take the microphone, I say.
No. This is your show.
Dr. Brunner is here, close at my right hand. Yet you will not hear him speak. I have taken it upon myself to say to this man of men, conserve your strength. There is a weary waste of space still stretched ahead of us where we will need your genius. And now, Mr. President, the time has come to speak of that of which it is most difficult to speak. One of us has given his life to this great project. Major Franklin Lorimer. Major Lorimer died because, in his love of country, in his determination to plant his country's beloved flag upon the moon, he put aside all thoughts of personal safety. Mr. President, we thank you and the people of America for the many honors you have already bestowed upon us. Although we still have a frightening way to go, we know we will be with you soon. Look for us in the skies. This is Lewis Ronan speaking and saying goodbye.
And now, the President of the United States, speaking directly to the members of the first expedition to the moon. Mr. President. Mr. Ronan. General Russell, Dr. Brunner.
Lieutenant Hartman, Lieutenant Kephart. I know that you have many duties to perform, so I will speak but briefly. It was shocking indeed to hear of the death of Major Lorimer.
I know I speak for the American people when I say his name will live with us forever.
Alongside the great explorers of all time. I know I also speak for all when I wish you, for the heroic five, Godspeed. In his hand you return to us. The last word, directly to you, Mr. Lewis Ronan. Because of your almost superhuman efforts, our nation has again gained great new laurels. We were the first to successfully launch and maintain a space station, orbiting even now around the Earth. We, as a nation, have now become the first masters of the moon. Mr. Ronan.
What's happened? What's the matter?
It's not my doing.
It's gone completely now.
Get them back! Get them back!
I'm technician, no magician. It's faded, gone, kaput.
No, some kind of infernal sabotage. Why did you stop him? Turn it on, I know you can, you stupid bunny.
Take it easy, mister. You'll do damage.
Range 53, closing fast.
What is it? What is it?
Hold it! Collision vector!
It's coming on.
It's coming on. Yes, it's coming on.
Yes,
closing
so.
Fast.
Come.
Wrap in.
We're going to hit. Turn on the jet.
No, not yet. Kephart, wrap in.
Oh, my arm.
The course. The computer, quickly.
I'm in pain. Unstrap me.
Leave him alone. We've got to get back on course. We're going off in space. Wrap in. Leave him there. He's dead. Wrap in. I'll count down three. All set.
Yes.
I couldn't stand this. Fix my arm.
Three.
Two. No, please, no.
One.
I beg you, no.
On course.
Let's fix that thing or tear its guts out.
Makes no sense. There's nothing on the scope.
What's the mystery? That unwanted reflex action ripped its insides, too?
Should I pull the switch?
No, let it ping until we trace the circuit through.
Well, we could pull it, replace it with this duplicate.
Yeah. I forgot that duplicate routine. Tell me, Lieutenant, what emergency packet do I open to replace one jet expert rating first lieutenant, one engineer rating major?
He has no right to touch controls. A lousy passenger, that's all his rating is.
You overestimate him. See if you can wake Satellite One.
I'll work on this.
How's the arm?
No pain. Here's something for your log of space reactions. The barbiturates did not give me sleep. I feel within me a leaping sense of quick release, of high exhilaration.
There are those whose nerve sheaths speak another language, sing when others weep.
That was a most regrettable thing to say.
I meant no personal reference.
Oh, my pain begins again. What can I take to deaden it?
We have bromidic capsules.
I would be grateful.
Here, take this.
Thank you.
Nothing yet, General. How did you do? Sounds all right.
No, I pulled the switch. We'll make a replacement as soon as you're free. What have you heard?
Satellite One reports no Earth contact.
What's going on?
That I'd personally like to know.
Keep on monitoring.
Yes, sir.
What's with Purple Heart?
Apparently, barbiturates exhilarate him. I gave him bromides.
Give me one. Out there, God's greater scheme of things, what chapter line of Holy Writ explains unwanted reflex action?
My eyes were closed. He threw the switch?
He threw the switch.
When we reach the Earth, we'll give Jan Kephart his father's vindication.
If we reach. Lieutenant Hartman, is that a bip?
No, all clear. I wonder what size it was.
What size what?
The meteorite we took evasive action on before. I wonder what size it was when... Christ, we forgot the camera.
I'll be...
What the heck is that?
The rumor was true.
I don't get it. What...
Wait until the top staff hears about this. They didn't believe.
I'm fog bottom. My beeper's off. Who's and what...
Their spaceship. Can't you see the markings? Theirs.
It is. It is.
A year ago, intelligence got a doubtful rumor that they'd launched it from a base high in the Ural Mountains.
The law of improbability... that we should meet.
But what's it doing here?
What do you think?
A tiny piece of Earth's debris lost.
Are they...
What else? It's been over a year.
Those poor dead...
That shall be their epithet.
What? What?
If the dreamer was another bromide.
It's all right, Lewis. Nothing to concern you. Why don't you rest again?
I did not rest. Something in me always quarrels with sleep. May I see the log, please? Why didn't you tell me? Must I read the log to know these things? I'm talking to you. Why didn't you tell me?
It's my opinion your little eyelids were sweetly closed in sleep.
So you made the discovery all yours. What a triumph for you and the doctor with his convenient bromide.
What have the two events? How could we have known that there would be...
Reasons?
Any...
Explanations? No, no, of course not. Hoard your explanations for a board of inquiry. Lieutenant Hartman, come. We'll send a proper message. Urgent message to Satellite One. Send it as I dictate.
I pleaded with the Chief of Staff to make us an all-service financed project. They said too soon. And then he came along with his crash program loot, and the politicians had to vindicate free enterprise. As if space cared how the wings were bought and paid for. I wonder what went wrong for them.
The variable.
I'm sorry that they missed out.
Buffalo! Doctor, look! Look, I say! Oh, you'll not take this from me. Above the Earth, the flashes. See them? You see them, don't you? At 20 after 7. Where's the logbook?
This entry's made in my own hand.
What is it? Flashes. Minute flashes.
What are they, showers of meteorites?
No, no, I don't think so. Primary points of light.
Russell, give me a reading. Our position. I want to get this properly understood.
Shut up.
What?
Shut up.
You'll regret that, I assure you.
Are they signaling us?
At this fantastic height. Why should they?
It is lights going on and off.
It must be signals. But there's no such plan.
I hear them. I hear them. What's happening? Tell me. Space One, for a moment I heard... I thought
what
I heard...
Man, what is it?
Fuck! War! War! He said war!
Dear God.
The maniac. Which is their continent? Which is ours? What do you hear, Lieutenant Hartman?
Nothing. Nothing.
Smashed. I always said we should have smashed them. Exterminated them a dozen years ago. I've got to get down there quickly, quickly. Well?
Nothing.
Let me try.
Is it
really happening?
The color. Unmistakable. Fission of the element. God help them.
Are they bombing us or we them?
I stood in the graveyard in college days and yelled, "Hey, Bones, hey, Bones. Who's right, who's wrong? Hey, Bones, hey, Bones."
Lieutenant, get to your station. I'll get the figures of arrival.
Is it truly war?
It is war. I say the word. It has no meaning. How can they truly be at war? I remember when we first turned the key of formula and mocked the sun. Some of the architects of fission built a clock and set it ticking and said for all to hear, "We have moved the clock of science 100 years ahead of time." That ticking is a time bomb of extinction unless you quickly move equal years ahead within your own heart. Within my own heart.
What would become of my golden voyage now?
Satellite One! I got them. They're sending on CW now. I can hardly... They say... It began when... I can't hear. So there it is again. Living hell. Retaliation missiles.
I knew it. They. Does Agony have a nationality?
I'm a soldier. They are my enemy. What are you?
The words I just can't understand.
Send them a message. Ask them, have they forgotten I am returning?
He is returning.
Listen only to me and send
it. Wait. The words you're sending now, I don't understand them. You triggered off.
What does that mean?
It doesn't matter. Tell them that...
Nothing more. Fated is a nothing.
Will you listen to me? Send them a message. Tell them I am a non-combatant.
You triggered off. Yes, of course, you. You and your spreading oratory, they heard you. In collective fear, they listened to you take clear title to the moon. A launching platform for 1 million warheads. And so they lifted collective fists and smashed out in collective fright. Now tell me this. Are we winning? Are we losing? Where's my place down there to make a stand?
Why didn't they wait?
Wait!
Yes, wait. The completion of this great flight was my own fulfillment and theirs. The sky could be released for them. The sky could be escape for them. The sky could be their own salvation, too. Why didn't they wait?
That was my own naive hope. Not violent. But in the slow growth of man's own maturity. Yet what waits, Lewis? What stays?
Satellite One! I see it! There! To the right at 2 o'clock!
I see it. Bright reflection.
Where? Where?
It's the satellite. Space One.
It'll be all right now. It'll be all right.
2 hours, 30 minutes, 20 seconds more, and we'll have ourselves a grandstand seat. Then you'll see what crop they reap for their aggression. You'll see...
Satellite One!
I can't see!
One sheet of flame.
They blasted it out of the sky!
Where will we land now? Where will we land?
Keep on trying. Keep on trying. Send the signals endlessly. Tell them I am neither combatant nor enemy. I lead a scientific expedition internationally. My only purpose, one of common good, of universal knowledge. If we are lost, they lose all that I bring to them from outer space within this sacred vessel. Yes, send that. They lose. They lose. Tell them to send a ship into space to bring us back to Earth. Tell them I will reward them any sum they put to ask it. Keep on sending. Make them hear you.
Stockpiles of fission are afire with spendthrift.
Is it night there? Did the missiles sneak in darkness? Are we on knees or they? I wouldn't want the answer. The enemy's without face, the victory's without voice. And I'm permanently detached from duty. Yes, by a rendezvous at 0600 with a crematorium.
0600.
I checked it out on the computer. Very definite, that damn transistorized impersonality. Would it bother you, the waiting doctor?
Every man waits. How long? How long? We know.
Have you heard the size of the golden carrots he's been dangling in front of Mac's nose to send those urgent nothings into nothing? And Mac, in the green optimism of his years, functions in a palpitating hope that somehow the rescuing cavalry will gallop up the Milky Way with neon banners flying. I don't imagine you've got any fresh green optimism, Doctor.
The flashes. When will there be an end to them?
I'll say this much for him. Our leader used one small piece of foresight in choosing you and me. At least we have no blood ties down in that hellfire for whom to wept this place with bitter lamentation.
Yes, we are the fortunate too.
Doctor, I'm sorry about before. Hitting you over the head with the flag.
It is all right. I have loved my country.
Sure.
I've always been loyal to the dream. The ever-improving dream.
Yeah, sure. But if they've been throwing half as much as we at them, or the reverse, then the only loyalties left are to the deepest bomb shelters and the lead shielding and the pumps sucking that filthy fish and air through filters.
What have they done to the beautiful Earth?
Who cares? That's not my problem now.
Then they must send a ship up here at once that I will offer...
You triggered off the war, Mr. Ronan, you.
I thought you spoke an echo of the truth.
You yourself spoke the facts when you said that nothing waits. And military chiefs have human bellies, human nerve ends, human backsides. And that push-button war could well have started from a bellyache, a nervous tremor, too much vodka, or a short circuit in a San Francisco standby.
Ended.
Black as blindness. Not quite 60 minutes. The one-hour war, they missed it by one whole hour, the general staff. Yeah, they figured throw it, return it massive, and inside of 2 hours, knockout. Or defeat. The hell with that.
Hello? Hello, Earth. This is Lewis Ronan on Satellite One. There must be...
Did you hear him? He's offering $1 million for anyone who'll come upstairs and get us out of here. Is it still going on?
We think it's ended.
What's the matter with me, Doc? It's black, and yet I see it clear as if it's lit up on a screen. The dead. The burning dead. My mother. Dorothy. And yet I sit here cold. Are you cold?
I am an old glacier. I stand ice-covered.
But why? What's wrong with us? Why don't I cry? For them. At least for me.
Perhaps each of us has lived with evil for too long.
But murderers have wept.
Yes. In another younger time. Then men did wrong, but always under the censoring eye of God. The eyes of God were burnt out long before that flaming hour. In the racial gas chambers. In the test tube crematoriums on the toadstool clouds. We and our fathers have lived through too much horror and deceit. The scar tissues have thickened over pity and compassion.
Do you know how much time we have?
Yes.
I don't think I want to know. Did we really trigger it off? Is there a chance of another ship relaying us to a safe landing? How will it end? Will we hit the air and flare out like a matchstick, or will we curve off into space and be like them, frozen in a wandering tomb? My questions runneth over.
I have no more answers.
When I was a kid at breakfast table, my father would always start his newspapers reading the obituaries. He'd say to mother, "Hey, do you know who died?" And I'd sit there shivering, thinking, someday, somewhere, somebody will say, "Hey, do you know who died?" And it'll be me.
Come, I'll give us both a sedative.
So, Doc, Doctor, did you ever ride along the city streets at night and past the houses? At night, the houses, the row on row of lighted windows, and think about the people living there? I used to do that. All those people, and wondered of their laughing and their loving, all their arguments and what they're eating, worrying, saying. All those lighted windows. All those people I'll never know.
Perhaps in another life.
I don't believe that stuff. Or maybe just a little. That the elemental atoms, molecules, protons of our decay return to space and form something somewhere. Somewhere.
The final graph. Whatever chance we had was blown up when we dodged their flying coffin. Our margin burned up then. The computer and my slide rule have finally reached that last miserable agreement. Do I believe it yet? All my life I lived with facts. Metered, slide ruled, univact. What kind of fact is death? Who has seen it? Who has weighed it? What graph has charted for the anti-neutrons, anti-life that orbits in it? All I know about is that dark, endless night. If I could know that night in death, I'd be content to die. Yes, if once in a thousand years I could wait to know that me, I lie here in death. Nothing. That's Kephart stuff you have, Doctor. I'm cleaning house. An old conditioned army reflex. I'll guarantee you this. We'll be a ship-shaped meteorite. At least I'm saved that. The packaging of last effects for next of kin. I'll give you odds that species rare down there tonight.
You're sure this belonged to Jan Kephart?
In the bottom of his bag.
Have you read it?
Oh, God!
General Russell, I want an exact fix on where we are. I must transmit it to my friends. Listen to me, mister. I must know exactly where we are. I'm sending urgent messages.
You fool! You fool, Ronan!
Leave me alone! Abbott!
Why? Why, what did he do to you?
To me? What do you mean, to me? Can't you see the red of murder?
Lieutenant Kephart was a precise man who kept precise records. The time we slept, he did not sleep. Oh, our sainted Major Lorimer, how could I have been so blind? When this creep pulled him out of a hat of 1,000 better qualified technicians.
Yeah, but what? What did you
have to... Here, here! Lorimer, drunk, holding a dory. This fool putting air suit on him, opening the hatch for him. Remember how he stood here. He was my friend. Here are his words. Read them, read them. It weeps.
Be still.
The golden voyage.
Shove your damn golden voyage. Now's the time for facts. Tell them how you really did it. Tell them how you conned the man. That the Geiger counter lied. That you tricked even the mechanism so he'd be the first to walk to immortality. That you'd make us wait for him. Turn back the clock of takeoff automation. What else? What else?
You drank. You slept. You didn't care that for me it was failure. What did standing on other worlds mean to you and your own world? I was going out myself. I. And he stopped me. And he put his drunken arms around me, pleading. And then his lips. And I let him go. I made him go. He was pollution in this perfect place.
All right. Does that justify shoving that poor fool to burning death? No, you're the pollution. You crud subhuman.
Leave him alone. If he's subhuman, what are you? Where's your humanity? Where's one mortal word, one thought you've had these hours for the tortured dead to bind you to this human race you seek to champion against this man's small misery? The millions who looked at sky and screamed in human agony. The other millions who now crawl the ashen earth, their flesh a ragged shroud around them, their blood a brewing poison. Give me further evidence of your firm kinship to them, Tom Russell, that you suffered too, your function ended, unfulfilled. When have you last known pity beyond your own identity, General Russell? If he's subhuman, because the hormones in him speak another language, what true humanity does your blood speak?
Well, that's the last we can do without. 580 pounds of the best equipment. I'm going below.
Lewis. Lewis, we stripped the ship. It's the only way we can gain time. For every pound we throw out, we'll gain another second thrust of jet. Lewis, surely you hear me.
Why do you speak to me here? I am still there. Weeping. Crawling.
You have done many things well.
Give them name.
For the little that is left. Give yourself a name. Reach to heaven for it. In final understanding. In love.
What love? When have I loved? Love the dead lips of my mother? Love the paid lips of strangers? Whom have I loved?
Is he okay? Sure. Let him rest. His sobbing wearied him. Let's dump this junk and buy a couple of extra minutes for me to shoot my mouth off. You know, friend, I underestimated you. I thought you'd still be straining for the sound of rescuing hoofbeats.
Should I be?
You saw the blueprints. We're designed to home on satellite 2,000 miles in space. That's it.
All right, that's it. You think no one's alive?
What's the final difference? With that war fought with knives and clubs, mankind as a form of life already had been judged and damned. No, I'm not climbing on the holy wagon at this late date. I'm talking ice-cold fact. Ignoring all those no trespass signs on fields of check and balance, we went ahead to kill our personal microscopic predators of sickness, plague, with germ and virus-enveloping vaccines and golden molds. And like the rabbits of the prairie, we've multiplied our thin-skinned cells until our kind was burdening the earth. Year by year, more millions beyond millions, and it would have kept on in our blind fecundity until every inch of earth would swarm with us like starving locusts. A writhing mass of black, white, yellow, brown, and red. A crawling, undulating sea of hunger cast in our own stupid image. Skeletons reaching to the empty heaven.
Men, come here.
What's with our rich benefactor? Has he got another movement accidental to display?
He's dead.
What? Dead? How long?
Cyanized a sharp, quick knife.
But why?
Sometime there comes a weariness beyond the bare of bones. to lose the weight of self-reproach and sleep.
Now's the time, I should imagine, the pity turns on me. Well, say it.
Strange. One's memory scanning under tension. I keep thinking of four students sitting in a squat-legged huddle on a street called Yashimito, hiding the nakedness in one small shadow of their blackened skin. The noonday sun blazes yellow patterns through their lidded eyes. High overhead, the single vari-colored cloud mushrooms malignant shelter. We were on our way to school, one says. We were talking many things, important things. The length of crawfish in the river. The holiday when we would leave our books and go in fields to play with kites and many fancies. A flash, a blaze. Now we sit. No room for laughter in our dying blood.
What does that mean?
On the day we bombed four students on that street called Yashimito, I think you and I left the human race and lost ourselves forever in the bloody jungle of the leopard and the praying mantis. Oh, we had sanctimonious phrases to offer up for history's record. The practical considerations so dear to politicians eyeing history's judgment. And so, with none of that outmoded chivalry of warning fairly given, we broke their back with one quick crunch and cheered a reddened flag of sudden victory.
I've been wondering for some time why you begged to come along. Now I know. The nuclear scientist's unhappy conscience. Oh, woe is me, what have I done? I'll put on flying sackcloth and ashes. But now you're not even contrite scientist. Change, change, all is change. I heard you well before. This turns into that and nothing static. All right. What have you changed into? I'll tell you, mister. A neutralist.
I?
Yes, you. What did you do?
I wept a little at the bomb. Then I drank a great deal. Then I think I went into a classroom and closed the door.
All right. Then don't you try to lay off on me your misery and retreat. I, for one, have lived my life with cold reality. I haven't found God on my slide rule, but I have found order in the universe, a thing of force and counterforce. Call the motivating factor what you will. Deify it or give it mathematical equations. There is no pity in the name or sum. It pours with calculated ruthlessness the contents of the test tube down the drain when the experiment has failed. Our species failed somewhere along the line. And so today, perhaps, we join the dinosaur and great auk. We're falling close to 0600, so why do we stand here like politicians on a platform? It's ended. Today is gone, and tomorrow's blown up, burnt out, extinct.
That isn't true, is it? They're not all dead, are they?
I do not know.
You both know so much. Know that. Everything's a viewpoint for you. Where's your viewpoint now? He's this, you're that. And between the two of you, you take the world and throw it farther than it is. That's easy for you, old man. Now you've finished with it. You've had it, both of you. The loving, eating, waking, sleeping. But what of me? Have you twin gods decided that I, too, have had enough? I came along because I thought that even if I died, I'd move the world a little. Now he says it's gone forever. Well, is it? Is it?
Forever? Forever? What forever? Tomorrow's forever? Or 10? 100 million years forever? 4 billion years that Earth moved in its orbit, and millions more it will be there until the sun destroys itself in supernova. So which forever? Who can look into such a womb of time? Mac, only this I know. As the sabered teeth tore at his throat, the Neanderthal's thought screamed in his head. The end. The end. When the conquistador's sword flashed high in Aztec sun, the high priest, in agony before the final agony, cried out, ended. All ended. At Waterloo, all ended. At Agincourt, all ended. At Cavalry, in Dachau, ended. Ended. A million times in agony, man has ended.
Where's the parallel? There the slaughter stopped with a club, a sword, the arrow, bullet, gas chamber. Now it's on the wind. In every breath they die.
The seed will not die. It will build its own immunity to the airborne scourge. And the children of that seed, remembering what we had done. The pseudo-realists, the practical ones, old scientists, old generals, old businessmen, old politicians, old revolutionists, and ancient neutralists, perhaps remembering us, those men of that tomorrow, will give their youth idealism where we gave cynicism, ever-renewing hope where we gave disillusionment, true compassion for all where we gave close-lidded prejudice and cash-register chicanery, or double-tongued dogmas and dialectics, and erected curtains of bamboo, iron, or chromium plate that hid the face of man from man. And if they fail again in that tomorrow, the earth will be the home of lizards once again, or small mice, or wondrous insects, iridescent wings rising in great clouds, seeking only the warming sun, at war only with the contrary wind.
You left out one for them to remember. Old intellectuals, who maybe knew a way out, but let the rest of us get lost. Help me with the body.
No.
Yes, to the hatch. Out with it. You know, you talked of strange memory scanning. I've had them, too, these passing minutes, thinking of a story, a family story, told around our supper table when I was a very little boy. Real pioneering stuff our family was supposed to be. Coonskin caps and Conestogas, and breaking backs in Santa Fe mud. Well, this story's told of one of my great-great-grandmothers. Her name, Forgotten Dust. On a day when the father went hunting in the hills and the watching Iroquois came riding. The drum of horses. One moment only to push the kids into the fort-like house, slam the timber door, throw the heavy bolt, grab up the musket, and wait. Wait. Quite safe inside the stone-sheaved house until the Indians tired and would go. And then a cry, thin as a little bird. Mother, let me in. A quick survey. Mary, Ellen, Jim, John, David. The youngest boy, the dearest. Mother, let me in. Four huddled, kind, wide-eyed, and one out there. Opened the door. The tiny fists were pounding. The circling Indians silent, thin grinned, waiting. When the father of that long ago came down from the hills, a little wind devil of dust moved in the distance, and a red knife lay on the threshold. And the door unopened. I've often thought of that day, such a long, long day ago. Mother let me in. I've never had to think. Beyond my job, I never really had to think. All my answers, I got them cheap. Headlines, bar side. It's so much easier to hate than think. You'd better check out the landing equation again. I think there's a new variable. I'm going below. Russell.
Russell. He's like it from inside. Russell. Russell.
What?
General Russell!
He's ejected himself into the abyss. Who'll write this epitaph for all of us? They knew too much too soon. They knew too much too late.
Doc, the cyanide. I don't want to wait. I don't want to burn. The quick knife. You said it yourself.
What did he say?
Huh?
What did Russell say? The last thing he said.
I don't remember. Something about check the computer.
The last equation was for four of us. Russell gave us a new variable. For two.
Falling into earth. We'll swing around and miser out the thrust of jet. And if death comes, we'll ride him down.
Strap in!
The other day, my dream was pictured in my mind. It was evening. I remembered the faith that I have partly expressed. Faith in a universe not measured by our fears. A universe that has thought, and more than thought, inside of it. And as I gazed, after the sunset and above the electric lights, there shone the stars. Tonight, as a special program marking the dedication of Broadcast House, WTIC has presented Night of the Auk by Arch Obler. Adapted and produced by Paul Gianfrido. Directed by Paul Neil DeSole. In the cast, Leo Langevin as Lieutenant Kephart, Bob Donnelly as Lieutenant Hartman, Lenny Deitch as Dr. Bruner, Franco Centini as General Russell, and Eric Schaff as Louis Ronan. All members of Hartford's Theater 7. The radio announcer and the voice of the president was played by Bob Ellsworth. Technical engineer was Bill Lobb. Special effects by John Reno. This is Bruce Kerr.